Before I get into my sermon, I wanted to share something that I thought would be helpful. Next weekend we're going to have a party to celebrate God's goodness to this church. Matter of fact, that's how we've been advertising it, the celebrating God's goodness. And we're reflecting over 18 years of Pastor Phil and Lisa's influence and ministry and leadership in this church. And it is something that we should be celebrating. But I just want to say something because it's really important that I say it. God's goodness in this church will continue beyond their departure. So not only are we celebrating God's goodness through these last 18 years, but we are anticipating, what's the future this way? We are anticipating God's goodness as we look forward. And I would just encourage everyone to be deeply convinced of the fact that God is remaining in this place. So let's, as a group, continue to anticipate that and look forward to all that He has for us in the future. So in light of that, I need to reflect on and then answer a question that people have been asking me quite a bit. And the question is, what is my place in the future of this church? Specifically, do I have an interest in being considered to be the next senior pastor of this church? And I have put off answering that question. And I just appreciate the patience that you all have showed in giving me time to just reflect and think about that. So I want to answer that question this morning. And I want to also say that my comments that I make reflect my convictions in the matter and Linda's convictions in the matter and don't reflect any pressure from anyone to arrive at these conclusions that I'm going to speak. So it would be a shame if what I say then is looked at as somebody else's voice speaking into my head, because it isn't. So anyway, the long and short of it is I am not going to be considered for the senior pastor of this church. And there's some reasons for that, and I want to talk about that. I think it will be very helpful for this church that my hat is not in the ring. So, as I've thought about this over the last 2 months, I've really kind of come to settle this question in this way. To me, the real question is not who will be the next senior pastor. The real question is what our testimony will be through the process of discovering who we are and what good things God has for us. So it isn't the question of who will be the next senior pastor and will I be that person. But the question is, what will our testimony be as we go through the process of discovery of who the next senior pastor will be and what God has for us in the future? And I'm just finding that the question of my aspirations is a huge distraction to this process. And I'll describe that a little bit because I think it's helpful. Because I have a challenge for each one of you as well in this. I would urge each one of you, as you are thinking through this process of discovering what God has for us in our future, to put away the names and faces that are in your mind as you're considering who the next senior pastor will be. Because trying to put names and faces to that question right now is very premature and has the potential to tear our church apart. When you put a name or face to the question now, there's going to be an awkwardness in your relationships in the church as you defend your choice and find fault with the choices of others. This is my concern. That if, as we try to move forward and discover what God has for us, if we come into that process with predetermined notions of what that will look like, then there's going to be a defensiveness in our relationships with each other and an awkwardness that serves to divide, not unify. And I sense some of that taking place already, and I really want to urge this church to not go there. To leave a very open mind, to come before the Lord and pray that He would be helping us understand what He's done in this church and what He hopes to do through us in this community and to find together who it is that will be the senior pastor of this church without trying to introduce the awkwardness of a name or a face to answer that question already. I want to tell a story that will help you see this a little bit. I've candidated at 5 different churches. One of them is this place. I mean, this is not recently. In my life, I've actually interacted, answered the question of what I consider being a pastor at 5 different churches. Three of them are in Washington. One is in Colorado, and one is in New Zealand. And I remember the process of trying to think through, well, Lord, is this a place that would be a good place for me and my family, and that we would fit, and that would fit us? And I, the answer, as it relates to Washington, was yes, it would be E3. It was no to another church in Snohomish, and no to another church in Sequim. It was also no to a church in Colorado that this took place before we moved up here. That interaction with the church in Colorado was really, really enlightening to me, and helped me understand a little bit of how I needed to answer the question about my aspirations in this church for the future, specifically about the senior pastor. This was an E3 church in Colorado. It was about 5 years old. It had been formed with great hopes out of a very large E3 church just north of where I lived. The pastor who had planted the church had left after a year and a half. He had been replaced by another man who about 2.5 years later had an affair and left. So this was a church now that needed a pastor. And so the search committee called me up and asked me if I would mind coming and counseling the committee, because they were having such a hard time in their relationships with each other. What a weird way to enter into the life of the church. And so I arrived at the search committee's meeting, and I just listened to them. It became very quick, clear to my mind that not only was I counseling them, but they were then interviewing me to find out if I would be their senior pastor. It was a very awkward place at that moment. And so so this one thing led to another, and I actually went and I preached. It was a candidating weekend. And a comment that Linda made to me was very telling. She is a real shrewd judge of the spirit of a place. She said, "You know, this church is full of very nice people, but they don't look at each other. They're very, very friendly, but they can't look at each other." And what was clear was this group of people who the Lord had been working through and was very good towards, who had together with great optimism planted this church and done so out of love for the community they were going to and love for each other, was at the place now that their own aspirations were in such conflict with each other that though they were very pleasant and kind to us, they couldn't stand each other. What a terrible testimony of the process of discovering what the future will be and what God has. My concern in this place is that all that God has established over the years will be lost as we come into this process with names and faces attached to the question of who will be the next senior pastor. We need to put that away. What we need to be doing is we need to be answering the question, what are the values that God has established in the people of this church as we focus ahead? And how does He want us to live these out in the future together as friends? And this testimony of this church in this community of becoming more like Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. I mean, how will we live that out with ourselves? So my charge for you is, let's live in this place as friends. Let's grow in relationship with each other as friends. Let's talk to each other and say, what are your desires, not mine? How can I walk with you and help you grow in Christ? How can we grow together as a church family and look towards the future without holding so tightly to our own aspirations and such. Would you do that together? If we can do that together, then what will happen is when the next senior pastor comes here, he'll be astounded by the depth of relationships and the testimony of God's working in our midst in this community. And this will be a sweet place for him to be. If we don't approach it that way, then we risk being a church like the one in Colorado, where we're all nice people, but we can't stand each other. We need to not go there. So that's what drives my answer to that question. Frankly, I just really value the relationships that I have with you, and the place that God has put me of being able to walk with you in your life and grow you. And I don't want the question of my aspirations to impact that or hinder the very fruitful ministry that God has allowed me to have in this place. And it really doesn't matter what my title is. I just don't really care. What I care about is the ability to walk forward in relationship with God's people in a way that's very fruitful, and that establishes his testimony in this place in a really beautiful way. Let's do that together, can we? So let me just open up in prayer. That wasn't the sermon. I suppose it could have been. We could get right to the root beer floats right now. That might be kind of fun. I don't know. I'm kind of tempted to save this for 2 weeks from now. Well, Lord, we just thank you again that your goodness continues. It isn't over. And that you have established this place for your purposes. And people come and go through here. Staff members come and go. Pastors come and go. But the relationships in this church and the character of being like Christ is what should persist. And Lord, I do just ask that you would give each person here just incredible sensitivity towards the others of this church, and really just cause them to look and say, what is it that you want? What is it that you need to be able to really grow in Christ? And how can I stand with you and help you in that? And Lord, we just ask that your blessings would continue. You've been good to this church in so many ways. And Lord, we know your heart is for this place. Lord, your hand will be on it in blessing when we seek to be Christ-like in it. And I just ask that our testimony in this place would be one of Christ-likeness. Of one who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Lord, may that be the character of this place. Lord, I think about just one other prayer request. Well, there's a whole bunch of them. One other prayer request, especially I just think of Naika Hallam, who is still in Haiti. We just continue to pray for her, Lord. We know your heart is for her. And we ask that you would just break down those walls that are keeping her there and bring her home. Lord, we do think about the Stevensons today, just this question of their home. They want to sell it. They don't want to rent it, but they do that too. We just ask for somebody to come and take that off their hands, and that you would provide a place for them in Washington, or in Linden. Lord, I know there's others in this place right now for whom the question of housing is a very unsettled matter. There are people losing homes. There are people needing homes. And we know that your eyes are on them, and we ask for your provision for them too. And Lord, as we now turn our attention to this message from Ephesians, and what it looks like to experience the blessings of being in Christ, we just ask that you would encourage us through your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.